Now, Trump has talked of taking a loving approach to implementing these tariffs. What does this tell us about which countries are going to be affected?
Well, Trump has immediately decided that Canada and Mexico, our partners in the NAFTA agreement, the North American Free Trade Agreement, are exempt from these tariffs on steel and aluminum. Aluminum for us, aluminium for you, one of the little differences. But it is a 25% tariff on steel, a 10% tariff on aluminum. And it won't affect Canada and Mexico, and it potentially won't affect many allies like Australia, but those agreements might be subject to more negotiations on trade policy with those countries. But mostly targeting nations like China that produce a large, large amount of steel at lower costs, and the imports of that product into the U.S., the premise is that that puts U.S. workers at a disadvantage, puts the U.S. steel industry at a disadvantage. But what Trump and many of his populist allies might fail to grasp here is that we're living in a globalized world that depends on globalized trade as much as other candidates like maybe Bernie Sanders and the left wing have railed against globalism and America's approach to it. So you have kind of an interesting line in the sand being driven, not necessarily between the left and the right here, but between populists who might be a bit opposed to free trade and more neoliberal, neoconservative types who want free trade all day. So this is an interesting can of worms that Trump has opened up here.
No, I think that's one of the interesting distinctions you've just made, is that when I think American economic policy, sometimes one thing that comes to mind is that idea of the free market, that neoliberal sort of construct that if we just have faith in the market, things will kind of work themselves out. Well, what's happening over there in regards to that response now with Trump saying that he wants to be a bit more regulatory about international trade especially?
It has created a lot of tension in the Republican Party in particular, because you have a lot of Republicans who fully subscribe to globalism and free trade as their economic bread and butter. But you have a lot of Republicans who might be up for re-election this year who don't want to create a big conflict with their president when they're vulnerable to their voters who might have voted for Trump because of his economic policies. So you have a weird codependency between Trump and many Republicans who might completely disagree with him on economic policy, who might have wanted to go in on that Trans-Pacific Partnership that is mostly going on without the U.S.'s input, that will likely put the U.S. at disadvantages that Trump is not really grasping, when you have all these Pacific nations binding together to create more efficient free trade at the expense of the U.S., who is completely disregarding this ongoing policy.
I'm speaking with our U.S. correspondent, Taylor Kaplan. Now, on a different thread here, Taylor, Attorney General Jeff Sessions has filed a lawsuit on behalf of the Trump administration against the state of California for its so-called sanctuary status. It seems remarkable that he's suing a state. Can you explain the concept of sanctuary cities, sanctuary states, and why they're being targeted by this administration?
Well, Trump, when he started his campaign, so much of its identity was built on undocumented immigrants, also known as illegal immigrants, but we'll call them undocumented immigrants here, being a problem, that they're criminals, that they're drug dealers, that Mexico does not send its best citizens, and then really treating that as the default for what undocumented immigrants represent. But, by and large, illegal immigrants, undocumented immigrants are one-fifth as likely to be imprisoned as citizens of the U.S. So what sanctuary cities and sanctuary states like California are doing is limiting the federal authorities from deporting undocumented Americans who are law-abiding and who have not committed any crimes, and to redirect that that force towards those who have committed crimes, who maybe should be deported. So it's about creating that distinction. Just last week, the mayor of Oakland, California, where I live, made an announcement that the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the biggest deportation agency, that they were coming through the city of Oakland and warned the undocumented immigrant community that they were coming through. And that supposedly, according to ICE themselves, prevented 800 undocumented immigrants from being detained. Oakland is a sanctuary city within a sanctuary state. They protect those immigrants who have not committed crimes, who have no good reason to be deported from, they protect them from those authorities. And the Trump administration wants to make that illegal. But of course you have a clash between federal authorities and state authorities, between state authorities and local authorities, and local authorities and federal authorities again. So you have a messy web of intersecting legal interests here that Sessions and Trump are trying to crack down on.
Well, look, it sounds to me like the compassionate view of let's help these people out who are here and who are sort of becoming part of the community. I mean, it wasn't the U.S., the modern United States as we know it, built on immigration, widespread immigration?
Absolutely, but you know, I think a lot of it is about xenophobia. A lot of it is about racism. I mean, a lot of Americans, especially who skew more right wing, are quick to exempt white immigrants or those who are accepted as white now from this scrutiny. And a lot of it is a problem with Latino immigrants in particular, and a lot of it is using this racism as an excuse, or rather using problems with immigrants as an excuse for racism, as a guise for racism. So, you know, the U.S. and Australia alike, we're settler countries. They're built on people coming here, I mean, for different reasons. Mm. But we're really losing sight of our history and why many of us are here in the first place when we criticize immigrants who are not doing any harm and in so many cases are making this country a better place to live.